Good morning and welcome to Community Connection. I'm Tom Davis and I'm joined with Senator Julie Daniels, and we're going to talk about a few things coming up on the ballot and a few things in between. It all comes together, trust me. First of all, Senator, welcome.
Well, thank you, Tom. Always good to be here on the radio. Appreciate everything you all do to keep our broad community informed. Mm-hmm. And so I just hope to add to that information this morning.
Well, I think you're going to. No one has really explained a few of these things in detail as probably we'd like, especially when we start off with State Question 814. First of all, I got lost in like the second paragraph of the question. Can you kind of bring us up to speed on this?
Yes. The main thing I want voters to understand is that earlier this year, by a very slim margin, the expansion of Medicaid was put into our Constitution, leaving your legislature very little leeway in how to deal with this expanded Medicaid population and payment for it and the current Medicaid population. Where is this money going to come from annually to make these payments, which will be a bigger hit to our state budget? And State Question 814 very respectfully asks you to amend the TSET provision in our Constitution, the Tobacco Settlement Endowment Trust Fund, that receives annual payments from the tobacco companies. That money is invested, and the earnings from those investments pay for the TSET programs. What we are asking you to do is reduce the annual payment into the fund and let some of that money be used for the direct health care costs of our Medicaid population. That is the only thing this change would allow that money to be spent on. The legislature would have no discretion in how to spend that money. If you will allow a portion of the annual deposit to the TSET fund to be used on Medicaid payments, you would help us a great deal in attempting to fund this Medicaid obligation. So what that means is less money will go in to TSET in an annual deposit, but TSET will continue to grow and it will continue to use the earnings from its investments to pay for all of its programs. It does not jeopardize any TSET program. It only says we, the people of Oklahoma, believe that some of this annual deposit to TSET, which is intended to help improve the health of Oklahomans, should be used to actually help pay for the health care of our Medicaid population. And people are saying you mustn't trust the legislature. We've put it right in there. The only thing it can be spent on is to do the federal matching funds for Oklahoma's Medicaid program. That is the last sentence in the state question. So please help your elected representatives and senators pay for this new obligation, which is going to be an ongoing obligation, and help us get through this very difficult budget year by using some of this revenue intended to improve the health of Oklahomans. Use some of that to actually pay the health care costs of some of our fellow Oklahomans. And I hope that helps a little bit. It's a three-paragraph state question, but truly, I think I've narrowed it down. You're still going to make annual deposits to CSET. You're just going to allow a greater percentage of that to go through the legislative budget to pay for Medicaid.
Very good. Okay. That's the best explanation I've heard so far.
Yes. Well, good. Good. Hopefully, it's the only explanation you will hear, and it will all be, please vote yes on State Question 814.
Very good. We have some justices. Sometimes people overlook those races. Sometimes they're just mere retentions. Other times they are races. You have some insight because you work with the justices from time to time.
Well, on some of these, as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, I've become much more of a state court watcher than I used to be as a voter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have nine on the ballot. We have, I think it's nine, we have two Court of Criminal Appeal justices, two or three justices of the civil appeals, and we have three Supreme Court justices, and those are the ones I'm going to speak to, only to give you information that you might find interesting. Mm-hmm. We've had a challenge to our election laws this year. Fortunately, we were in session while this challenge was taking place so that the legislature was able to fix this after our Supreme Court sadly threw out the provision that required a notarized signature on your absentee ballot. Two justices on the ballot, Darby and Colbert, voted to overturn our notarization requirement. Justice Kane, the newest justice, who is on the ballot, voted to uphold our election law. It would be interesting for voters to note that that was a League of Women Voters challenge to our state election law. The Democratic Party of Oklahoma and the Democratic Congressional Committee then went to federal court to try and throw out the improvements we made after we lost in state Supreme Court. And there, an Obama-appointed federal judge decided in favor of the state on every single argument, basically saying there's a little personal responsibility involved here. It is the legislature's duty to set election laws. They're the branch of government that sets election laws, and that our laws were reasonable. And so he upheld the second challenge in federal court, but we did have two justices vote to overturn part of our election law in an election year. Lawsuit reform. This is very important to those of us who support the business community, not to not support and take care of injured workers, but if you are going to be pro-business and develop your economy, and Oklahoma does lag behind a bit in developing business, one of the reasons has been our workers' compensation laws and our lawsuit laws. And so when the Republicans finally gained a majority a little over 10 years ago, they started working to reform these things. Lawsuit reform took a number of years to get into statute. And last year, sadly, it was thrown out by our Supreme Court, taking us back to square one on this issue, whereas several state courts in other states have upheld their legislature's right to write these laws as being part of the responsibility of a legislature to set policy. So in that Beeson decision in 2019, both Justice Darby and Justice Colbert voted to throw out our lawsuit reform statutes. Then we have our workers' comp statutes. We moved from an adversarial system to an administrative system also over the course of several years since the Republicans took the majority. And just this year, Supreme Court threw out another tenet of our workers' compensation law, with Justice Kane voting in favor of upholding the law and Justice Colbert voting to throw out that part of the law. Justice Darby wasn't voting. Two issues last year also eroded part of our workers' compensation laws on burden of proof. Again, Justice Colbert voted to throw out that portion of our workers' compensation statute. Justice Darby voted to uphold it. And then lastly, another one on burden of proof under workers' compensation. Justice Colbert voted to throw out our workers' compensation law, and Justice Darby voted to keep it. So just for what it's worth, these are decisions that were of interest to me, and I thought people, you know how they voted. And you could go and look up other Supreme Court decisions that might be of interest on issues of interest to you. So that's just a little information on judges, because it is difficult to find anything on judges, and it's a simple majority. We don't require a 60% vote on a retention ballot. So once appointed to the Supreme Court, you're pretty much there. Anyway, so that's what I know about judges and 814 this morning.
All righty. Now, state question 805 is one that's kind of it's been a hot button issue because some people, if you just kind of glaze over it, it's like, oh, well, isn't that nice? But there's really more to it. And they always say the devil is in the details. And I was a little shocked when I found out from our state's attorney, Mr. Buchanan. He brought this to light on one of our previous shows. And as a legislator, this is not a good question.
Well, I share that opinion. I will be voting against 805. I'll be voting yes on 814. Mm-hmm. Let's all remember that. And this is where I am at a bit of a cross purposes with some of the people in the criminal justice reform movement, which I do support, looking for a balance here. I think this is sort of out of balance. Remember, if it was a statutory state question, you could at least say the legislature can go in and fix this or tweak it or do something to make it more palatable. But when you put it in the Constitution, honestly, the people who are paying to promote this, once it's in the Constitution, you will never be able, I don't think, to get it out. So it says you have 52 violent crimes. And after January 1 of 2020, you cannot add to that list. So any sort of crime that you think might merit looking at past offenses and enhancing sentencing, that is no longer allowed. One of those is domestic violence by strangulation. We can put it now into the code as being violent, but according to 805, it came too late to be classified as a violent crime, and so therefore you cannot enhance sentencing on multiple offenses in that category. So I think that's very problematic. Also, some of us think of violent as being, you know, murder and assault, and we think of, but there are other sorts of things that I think if I were a victim, I would consider violent.
Getting beat around is a pretty violent thing.
So, for instance, distribution of drugs, incest, stalking, violation of protective orders, child trafficking. Those are not in that list that would be fixed in time in our Constitution. The other problem with this is that we have right now a reclassification commission made up of DAs and sheriffs and all sorts of people in law enforcement looking at our whole criminal code, because we know our criminal code has become too complex. And they are looking to reclassify and put different criminal offenses into schedules. They were looking at sentencing enhancement, but they've had to put all that on hold because State Question 805 will make them go back to the drawing board and tie their hands in their attempt to actually do comprehensive reform of our criminal code. So again, they would be bringing these suggestions to the legislature through the governor, and we would take action on them through representative republic that we have. We would debate and vote on different aspects of this reclassification. That's the way our government is supposed to work. But 805 will make that much more difficult. So reform can happen. It needs to be balanced between law enforcement, public safety interests, and have we become overhanded in our punishment of offenders, in our incarceration of offenders? I would agree there's truth in both of those. So the legislature is the place to find that balance, because we are elected by all the people of the state of Oklahoma. And 805 stops some criminal justice reform in its tracks. So I would respectfully ask people to vote against this constitutional amendment, and let us as the legislature continue to work on criminal justice reform and bringing down our levels of incarceration and improving our diversion programs to keep more people in our community and out of jail. All those things work together. And Tom, at the end of the day, all of those things involve money. So you have to also look at that side of it. What can you afford? How best to spend your dollars? But I think 805 is a step too far and will actually jeopardize criminal justice reform in the long run, and perhaps damage public safety in Oklahoma.
One of the questions that has come up is domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
Is this in this snapshot where we're going to stop and say, hey, these are the laws? Or is this something that the legislature is still working on, the work in progress, as you say?
These are all works in progress in various places in the legislature. I mean, I've been relying on looking to the work of this reclassification commission.
Yes.
I talked to the district attorney's counsel this morning. I said, where are we with this? They said, well, 805 has sort of stopped that in its tracks.
My.
So here we are in the middle of trying to truly overhaul the criminal code, taking into account that we have been too heavy-handed in some aspects of our criminal code. But now they will have to, I guess, hit the reset button and work within the confines of 805 to do what reforms they can.
We want to ask people, before you cast your ballot, to always do your homework and to get the most information that you possibly can.
Well, yes, and while I always go to the Secretary of State and read everything there, ballotpedia.org is a very good place. It gives you the background on the state questions, who's for it, who's against it, you know, who's putting money into the campaigns, mm-hmm. and its legislative background. So Ballotpedia is very good on state questions.
Oh, yeah. It's rather antiseptic. It has no favor.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It really is hard to say that Ballotpedia is for or against anything in particular, which is, if you truly are looking at a state question and you are clueless as to which way to vote, that's a very good place to start.
It is. That's ballotpedia.com.
Or you could just listen to what we've said on the radio this morning.
Indeed. Well, you've done the homework, and we really appreciate this, Senator Daniels. By the way, congratulations. You got a couple of awards here recently. I think it was the NFIB.
Well, yes, and we were talking earlier about supporting business and economic development and making sure that our laws are balanced so that we don't discourage investment in our state. Mm-hmm. And so the National Federation of Independent Business did name me their guardian of small business based on the Business Immunity Liability Bill that we passed this year to get our economy and our businesses open during COVID, and also for the reform of agricultural nuisance laws that we made last year, which, again, helps protect agribusiness and small farmers from lawsuits that could literally put them out of business by expanding the definition of our traditional nuisance laws. So we tried to limit that to try and help agribusiness. So I appreciate that. I think people would be surprised that it's harder to be pro-business and economic development in our legislature than you might think, because some folks don't understand that in order to generate revenue for government, you have to have a flourishing economy. It's tax revenue, and it's only generated by people who have jobs and they shop, and the employers and the gross production tax. If you're not drilling for oil, you're not employing people, you're not paying gross production tax. Hence, less money for government. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the fewer burdens you have on economic activity at any level in our state, the better it is for those people who want to spend more on government services. So that's what I'm focused on. And just an addendum, I've now become involved with other colleagues in looking very carefully at our regulatory burden, breaking the red tape, the governor calls it, looking seriously at some reforms to our Administrative Procedures Act, and perhaps some expedited repeal, encouraging agencies to come to us and say, here's a regulation we really don't need anymore. Mm-hmm. We either don't enforce it, or it's duplicative and it just causes extra paperwork for business owners. Hey, extra paperwork is time and it hurts your bottom line. So we're going to look at trying to figure out ways to ease that burden on our generators of revenue in our economy. And just commend everybody, small business owner, I don't know how you do that. I mean, from the single practice attorney like my son to, Kids Corner downtown to our local restaurants, how they do it and how they've managed during this pandemic, I think it is a testament to the legislature that we took action to try and get our economy open. And just end by saying, looking at the August unemployment rates, we're the 10th lowest in terms of unemployment rate in the nation. We have a lower percentage unemployment than any of the states around us.
Indeed,
and
we do.
I think that's a tribute to the legislature taking action to help get businesses open again, and schools and nonprofit organizations and churches and restaurants and all those things.
Senator Daniels, thank you for being with us today.
Tom, thank you very much for allowing me to use this microphone to put my perspective out there to the voters, and it's an honor to serve, and I thank the voters for allowing me to serve.